Good evening, everybody. Thank you all for being here. It's nice to see a nice crowd here tonight. My name is Larry Bersaw. I'm with the Napomo Mesa Community Alliance. We're a relatively small group of a lot of people from all over the Mesa, including Napomo, including the other areas that are affected by the problem that we're here to discuss tonight. We come from many different backgrounds. We have a lot of different professions, and we spent a lot of time studying the issues that we're confronting tonight. We're here because our Napomo Community Services District, the NCSD, has proposed and is promoting what we call the WIP, the Waterline Intertie Project. We think this is a very bad idea. There's many reasons for that. Many of the facts around that you'll see tonight. What we want to do is move through this very quickly, make a presentation to you that shows you the facts as we have been able to determine what they are. And at the end of this program, we're going to give you a chance to ask any and all questions that you'd like to. We're not afraid of the questions. We have the answers for you. I hope we do. And if we don't have any answers, we'll make sure that we get them for you. I did notice that our supervisor, Paul Teixeira, is here.
Thanks, Larry, and it's nice to be here tonight. Appreciate the turnout. Everybody concerned about water and being here. This is a major concern of a lot of people in the community, and I'm glad that Larry and the group put this on so we can get some facts about water and what's going on. We were at the NCSD meeting here a couple weeks ago, and we heard what they had to say. We'll hear the other side of the story today, and then everybody can make up their mind. But thank you for coming, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Paul. I imagine that all of you, like us, have been getting these mailers that have come, the nice glossy brochures that are actually don't say a whole lot. These are put together by the public relations firm hired by NCSD with a message that they're trying to sell to you. By the way, you're paying for it, so I hope you're enjoying it. We don't have the kind of funding that NCSD does to put brochures in the mail to you. So this is our only way of reaching out to you. We hope that that we can do a good job of that so that you get answers to the questions that are left. Most of them even unasked in this presentation. The most important points, I think, that you'll see tonight have to do with basically addressing the scare tactics that NCSD is using in these mailers, trying to convince everybody on the Mesa that we're in a critical water shortage and that we're threatened with seawater intrusion. The facts just don't back that up. The facts that you'll hear tonight are stuff that comes out of NCSD's documents, studies that they paid for and are now ignoring, or studies that they have cherry-picked little bits of information out of to try and promote their particular point of view. We think that you deserve to have all of the information, and we don't think that the scare tactics are, we don't think they're going to work, and I hope that they don't by the time we get down here tonight. I'm going to let each one of the speakers here tonight introduce themselves rather than go through the introductions now. And we're going to move along real quickly with this, try to compress this presentation so that there's more time for you folks to let us know what's on your mind and ask any questions you have. And then you want to go from there?
Thank you, Larry. My name is Vince McCarthy. I've lived in here for about 43 years, and I've seen a lot of this stuff go on. And after looking at the information we've obtained, I was pretty sick about this whole situation myself. What I'm going to do tonight is we're going to go through some of the costs that it's going to cost you. We're going to start off with the so-called $25.3 million bond. When you get through with a $25.3 million construction bond, and the bond agency, which charges about $758,000, you wind up with a bill of approximately $26 million. Along with the $26 million is $43,400,000 in interest that also goes along with this. So when you're through with a $25.3 million bond, you have a $69.4 million bill. And this is one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about bonds. So I hope we, at this point, we can straighten them out. What you see behind me is the cost is now of the NCSD. In the year 2011 to 2012, you see the bi-monthly cost, you see the annual cost, you see the 40 units of water usage, which is average according to the NCSD, and then you see the fixed sewer cost. Now the sewer cost is supposed to go up sometime next year. We figure it'll be about approximately 25%, but we're not exactly sure of that number. But right now you can see the total of what the average cost to an NCSD customer is right now. Okay, again, this is year 2012 to 2013. This is assuming the WIP had been gone into and been accepted. You can see the WIP bond property tax is an annual of $446 each property. Equates out to roughly $74.29 bi-monthly, but you can only pay your property tax twice a year. The fixed water cost, which is $82.50, that is the water from Santa Maria to the MCSD storage terminal. That is not the water to your house. The fixed water litigation is what the MCSD is now for their cost, their operating cost, is considered the fixed cost portion of the water. You have also, again, the 40 units of water consumption, which is supposed to be average consumption for the average people around here. And then you can see it's pretty close to $80 bi-monthly. Again, we come to the fixed sewer cost of $88.32. And that, again, is subject to being raised very soon. We also have in this one a proposed sewer bond tax. The sewer bond has been approximately $11 million at bond, and it's going to cost probably approximately around $44.31 about now. As the prices of the are increased, these numbers will go up accordingly. And I'm sure that there are any questions here that you'll have a lot of questions to ask about this at this time. Larry?
Thank you. Pat? The bill is
yes, my name is Bill Petrick. I live in Black Lake, so I'm an NCSD customer, and our numbers are slightly different from what Vince is showing you because we have a different sewer cost than the people around here do, but the water costs are the same. So we've been watching what NCSD has been doing for years and always concerned about their inability to control costs. And so I think what Vince has shown you is a possibility of your bills, your utility bill, doubling in the next few years if everything that NCSD wants to do is adopted. So what I'm going to do right now is talk about some of the scare tactics that they came up with at the Pomo High School meeting. How many were at that meeting? Okay, quite a few. It was a very nice polished presentation, and I think was trying to get everybody to believe that there's this huge water problem, and therefore either for insurance purposes or whatever, we ought to pay this huge amount of money to protect ourselves. And what we want to show you is that's not exactly true. In fact, it's not even true. So are we running out of water? No. Is seawater intrusion imminent? No. So let me explain that a little bit. First of all, to get some idea of what the groundwater basin looks like under the Nampula Mesa. Yes, it didn't shake so much. It goes down to Santa Maria here. This is Guadalupe, Santa Maria, Orca, way down here. So the big part is down south. Here's the Mesa area. This is where we are. And then this is the Northern Cities area. That's Oceana up there. So just think of this groundwater basin like a big swimming pool. This is the deep end, and this is the shallow end. It narrows down. It actually goes out into the ocean, but we cut it off with the ocean. So the swimming pool is also tilted higher here and goes down to sea level there. So the water naturally flows from this end to that end. Now, as far as the threat of seawater intrusion, that comes along here. Well, this is not a new issue. It's been around for decades. And about 30 or 40 years ago, the county drilled about half a dozen sentinel wells, they're called. And they're located along here. And I think there's one inside the Mesa area, and then one down here, and three or four up there where the basin really narrows down. So the county takes measurements, has taken measurements in these sentinel wells for about 30-some years, twice a year. Okay, so it was no surprise to anybody that they have never found any seawater intrusion. It's never happened, and it doesn't, and there's no indication that it's a threat now. Furthermore, since this whole groundwater basin has been in litigation since 2002, the court has actually taken over this responsibility to monitor the conditions on the Mesa. And so if seawater intrusion were to occur, there's technical groups established in all these three areas by the court. And if any of this data comes back to show that there's any seawater intrusion, they have to make the technical groups make a report to the court, and then the court would come in and do something. To date, we've had three annual reports from each of these three technical groups, and not one of them has indicated there's any indication of seawater intrusion. So the question is, why did NCSD try to tell you there was seawater intrusion? It's in their brochure. They say, Oceano saw seawater intrusion. There was one of these wells 2 years ago that had some bad data. And to be cautious, Oceano and the Northern Cities area, who were responsible for that well, they cut back pumping because they had alternate water supplies and got more water from Lopez and did all the right things while they investigated to see what was wrong. As of now, none of the technical reports have said there was seawater intrusion, and my understanding from Oceano is that they attributed this primarily as a maintenance issue, that his wells that are 30-some years old have some maintenance problems, which they fixed, and now there's no more bad data. So at this point, there's no documented report anywhere that shows we've ever had seawater intrusion along the coast to date. So the idea that there's a threat to seawater intrusion is pure fiction in my view. Next slide. So the next part of the presentation was that, we've got a water shortage. And this is where they really got creative in their presentation, because the technical group that's responsible for monitoring and analyzing the conditions on the Mesa came out with their annual report, the first annual report, and showed a correlation between annual rainfall
which is the blue line, and what they call the key well index, which is what they did was look at, found 8 wells scattered throughout the Mesa that have had reliable data for 35, 40 years, and they ran, looked at all the data and evaluated and said these wells are representative of water levels on the Mesa, so they said we can average them, you know, add them together, take the average, and then look at the trend. And then they noticed that the trend matches rainfall. So the claim that we're running out of water, as you can see, the average level is almost flat over 35 years. If you do a least squares regression, you'll also see that that line is actually slightly tilted upward, but there's a lot of uncertainty in some of this data, so the fact that it's flat is good enough. Now, what you say, well, wait a minute, NCSD said we have a problem. And they showed their graphs. Here's where I really had a problem. They took this section of the graph out and said, see, over these years, the water level was dropping. And then they brought out a graph showing, which we all know, our population during that time period is going up. So, therefore, our water levels are going down, our population is going up, we're in trouble. If they had shown the whole graph, you'd say, that's crazy. There's no correlation between population and the water level, at least not now. So for 35 years of data, it's flat, and we don't have a water problem. That's enough of that. Okay, I just said that, so let's go on to the next one. So Pat will do more cost analysis.
Hi, my name is Pat Eby, no relation to Ed Eby. My husband might have been related several centuries ago. We haven't figured that out yet. What I want to talk to you about today, and the people on this committee have really spent months and months of time digging this stuff out for you. These four companies at the top, four names at the top, are the people, the components that deliver water to people that don't have their own guts. So NCSD, you already know, you get that's where most of you get your water. Woodlands Mutual Water Company is where I currently live, but I lived in Black Lake for 5 years, so I know about NCSD from living in Black Lake. And Woodlands, across the street, on the other side of Willow, has a mutual water company, okay? Golden State Water Company is a part of Napomo on Orchard and Division, going down to the bluff. And Rural Water Company is over at the far corner toward Arroyo Grande. In fact, they have an Arroyo Grande address over there, Cypress Ridge, and those communities over there. Those four companies, those use 45% of the water on the Mesa. The people, the ConocoPhillips uses 10%, and private wells, both agricultural and household, use 45% of the water. So there's communities around that have their own wells. There might be 5 homes, there might be 3, there might be 10, there might be 1. I mean, but they, if they have a well and it's privately owned, they fit into this category. The total water we use on the Mesa is about 12,000 acre feet. What we used in 1975 is about 4,000. So we use about 3 times it now, how much, 3 times as much water, everybody, as then. But you saw the rainfall and you saw the chart, the well levels. There doesn't seem to be an impact on the population growth. Next slide. So what is the WIP? It is the pipeline that is going to be constructed from Santa Maria, same aquifer, up to the Napomo to connect to NCSD's water system. It's to plan to report 2,000 to 3,000 acre feet per year. That'd be 2,000. Currently, the plan is 2,000 for the first 10 years, 2,500 10 years after that, and 3,000 the 10 years after that. They've pushed this plan through the litigation that began in 1997. Now, this was a huge lawsuit started by the Santa Maria Conservation District to determine who owns the water that's underneath us. And the court, in years and years, 7 years of testimony, determined that there was no overdraft anywhere in the basin, no overdraft, but did decide that there could be overdraft sometime in the future if there were extended droughts, and set up those technical committees that Bill just talked about. Now they also, a group of lawyers, met to write a document called the stipulation. And that stipulation does have Waterline Intertie Project in it. But it does say it is contemplated. There is no timeline and there is no word required. It says contemplated. And the people who signed, the organizations that signed the stipulation must agree to support it. So when you hear a number of people talking about it, they have to say they support it. They don't have to vote for it, but they have to say they support it if that particular group of people signed the stipulation. And many people did, including the county board of supervisors, including the Black Lake board of directors, and including NCSD and all the water companies. They all signed it. The owners or managers of those companies signed the stipulation. And they are not allowed to talk, to oppose it, and they are not allowed to help anyone oppose it. Interesting words to put in the stipulation. However, that stipulation has an out clause. It says, in the event that it's not feasible to do this, anybody who signs that stipulation can appeal to the court to take that section away. So it is not mandatory. What is going to be the cost of this pipeline? Now, we have dug into NCSD documents, and I've taken this data right out of their reports. $80 million is the capital cost. This comes from a document in 2009 that was $77 million. It was done by the Wallace Group, and it specified the pipeline, the interest, the bonding costs, all those costs. They are outstanding engineering firm. They know how to calculate costs, and at that time it was $77 million for the total of that package. The cost has gone up about $3 million since, so I'm using $80 million. The water costs, however, are where the costs really get pricey, because Santa Maria determined that we should pay them $1.7 million every year for the privilege of bringing water here. Part of that, apparently, is their capital cost, which I think is part of their state water cost, what they have to pay for the state water. So Santa Maria will make a lot of money on this project and is probably very happy to have this project, and we will pay for it. The cost of water, what was proposed, was $1,250 per acre foot. And multiply that by 2,000 to get the cost of the water. But I have a document that Santa Maria gave to NCSD that said in 2011 the water costs are $1,443 per acre foot because they have the right to increase that water every year. So we ran a table spreadsheet that increased the cost of the water 5% every year through 30 years because Santa Maria increased their costs the last 2 years 5% each year. That seems reasonable to me, and the total cost then is $270 million over 30 years. A big number, okay? Now, NCSD is proposing, is considering, and I don't know until we get a ballot, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're considering putting part of that water cost onto your tax assessment. The other part will be in your water bill. Now, they're going to do that for a couple of reasons. One is because they're afraid if it's all part of your water bill, people are going to use less and less water, and they won't have enough income to pay for the water, pay for the tab to Santa Maria. And that's a pretty serious concern. So if they put it in the bond cost and put it on your tax bill, they figure they have a better chance of getting that money. Now, I'm concerned that a whole lot of people who live in the middle of the Palma are not going to have the money to pay this. They'll lose their property through this project. And the funny thing is, this doesn't bring any new water up here at all. It brings water that flows up here naturally. There's not one drop of new supplemental water being added to this project. So to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay. Only 45%, remember, only 45% of it are going to pay the bill because it's only those four water companies. that sell water to their customers that are going to pay this bill. Okay, next one. These are how your costs are going to look. We built this chart across 5 years. So we have 2011 down here, 12, 13, 14, and 15. These are your current water and sewer costs if you live in the Pomo. These are your costs added, the WIP water costs, the sewer bond costs, and your regular and the other water, WIP water. Okay, WIP water and then property tax. We put them all together so you see a total bill, and you'll see you're getting up into that number that this put on the board over $400, and that's a bi-monthly cost. Each year, they're going to increase. And so when you get up only 5 years, 4 years in the future, we think you're going to be paying pretty close to $500 bi-monthly.
That has nothing to do with the water.
Can we stop it? We can. You will be mailed a ballot. The most recent document I read on the timeline from NCSD wanted ballots to go out in August. Well, we did. We didn't get them yet. So I don't know what their timeline is. You may get them in the fall. I'm predicting they will come out the first week in December with Christmas mail, but I'm a cynic, you know, about things like that, so I don't know. But I'm thinking sometime we will get a ballot. And whenever we get a ballot, every homeowner will get a ballot. And it will have a number on it. It won't be these numbers. It will be another number that will be some mixture of whatever. And we're asking you to vote no and return it as directed. Be very careful reading what you have to do, signatures, whatever you have to do to return it, because they'll throw out ballots that aren't returned correctly, or filled out correctly. If 50% plus one of the ballots, return ballots, not total ballots, but the return ballots, say approved, that this will pass. So if 200 ballots are returned, and these will be weighted ballots, we won't go into that, but if you have a bigger piece of property, you're going to pay more, so you'll have maybe two votes instead of one vote, okay? The least will have one vote. It will be a weighted ballot, and they'll total them all up, and all the weights will go together. Again, the 50% plus one will pass. Anything else will fail, okay? So it's very important to return those ballots and get your neighbors to return those ballots if you don't want to pay this bill. Now what will happen is NCSD may then decide they're going to push this through on just water costs. And I will commit to you here today that I will help organize a Prop 218 ballot. This will all come on your water rates then. And we ran a Prop 218 protest successfully in Blackley. I know how to do it. I'll be looking for captains in every neighborhood. And it's not that difficult. It takes you have about a month to do this, and we can do that too. So in my opinion, this is not the way to spend our money. There are much better ways to bring in supplemental water. Okay, next. So, will the WIP save our water supply? I personally do not think so, and I hope you're convinced that it won't either, because it does not. In times of drought, my theory is that pumping water and half the water that's coming to us is coming right out of our aquifer. The other part is supposed to be mixed with state water. But Santa Maria will only get what it gets in state water. You know how state water goes up and down. And in the past two years where we had drought, Santa Maria did not get they got about 8,000 acre feet of water from the state. And they have to use 10,000 acre feet within Santa Maria. So does that leave them any water to ship to us? No. And mathematically, they would not be allowed to ship us any state water if they're going to follow the stipulation, okay? So now they're going to be pumping water out of the aquifer and bringing it up here. So how does that help our aquifer? According to Boyle research, who gave NCSD a report in 2007, NTSD is one of the things they want us for supplemental water to do, drill three wells along the San Maria River. which is in the Santa Maria, the deeper part of the aquifer. And Boylston Doctor said, there's a lot of reasons why you can't do that, but we think one of the biggest reasons is it could change the hydraulics of how the whole aquifer flows. And if you take water out there, it may actually stop the flow and actually reduce the water that comes to the mesa. Now, how is pumping water there different from pumping water a little bit further south? Won't that also, could that also not have the same effect in a drought? I'm not a hydrologist, I'm just asking a question. So, pumping and transporting water that will flow north could deplete in times of a serious drought. So is this worthy of $350 million? Next slide. And I think this is where I turn this over to Lynn.
Thanks, Ben. One point I'd like to make here that isn't included in our slides that you'd be interested in. One place that we agree with NCSD is that the health of our aquifer is vital to all of us. And we believe that in the long term, that it's important that we all make an effort to analyze additional true supplemental water sources that might be available to us in the future and do something about developing that type of a source. The NCSB is calling this project that they're proposing supplemental water. We think that maybe that's not the right name for it because it doesn't introduce a new water, truly new water. An example is the desal. Desal is being looked at all over the West Coast as it has been in the East Coast. There are desal plants both here and there. And there's an obvious new source of water that could be developed through desal. These things take a lot of study. Argument might be that it takes a long time to develop it and it's very expensive. That's also true. But at least with a desal plant, if that were feasible, when we spend the money, when we develop the project, we truly have a supplemental water supply, as opposed to what's being proposed now. We think it's inappropriate to saddle this mesa with a $350 million bill that will preclude us doing anything else for the future. We simply can't afford it. Now, with the final facts that are mentioned here, the plan to bring 75,000 acre feet, this is over the 30 years of it, at the cost of $350 million. You see the figure up there going on, $5,000 per acre foot. That was compared with another Boyle engineering study that was done in 2007, paid for by NCSD, by the way. They were projecting a desal plant capable of producing over 6,000 acre feet a year, could produce that water for a cost of approximately $2,500 an acre foot. Does include almost $100 million in capital investment, but I'd rather spend $100 million and have an assured ongoing water supply for a long time than spend $350 million for something that doesn't continue. Two things are really important I'd like to emphasize. One that Pat mentioned about the ballot. When this assessment district is proposed and finally proposed and NCSD finally comes up with some kind of a number, they won't tell us what the costs are actually going to be. They won't tell us what's going to appear on this assessment district. Is it just the cost of the pipeline? Does it include water costs? We don't know that yet because they haven't produced that information. They're spending all their time and money trying to scare us and they're thinking maybe that's all water intrusion. We think that assessment district has to fail. So please, when it comes that time and that ballot comes, be sure to send it back in with your vote no on it. Don't ignore it. Send it back in. No. And And the other thing that we're intent on doing, it's one of our major thrusts, is we want to approach the Board of Supervisors. We firmly believe that this problem is, or if there is going to be a problem, it's going to be a regional problem. The one is protecting our aquifer. This is an aquifer that stretches for miles across portions of two counties. We think it's a regional problem, not one that NCSD should be the only one trying to solve, and we be the only ones paying for it. There's over 50,000 people that are dependent upon this aquifer. We need to have a regional solution to having a supplemental water supply to back up this aquifer. And we believe that the County Board of Supervisors should be participating in a solution. Paul's heard this before. we're not bashful about telling you. We really think that the board ought to be involved in developing a plan, studying it, making a plan, and developing a plan. That's why we have a petition. We have hundreds of signatures that we've collected already. Hope that we can collect a lot more tonight. So I'd like to have you folks sign the petition, and we're going to take it back to the county, asking the county to get involved in this issue and help us start planning for a future. And we've got some gentlemen back here that have those petitions. They'll be passing them around. We'll collect them here. If you'd like, you can take the petition home with you and collect signatures from other folks that aren't able to be here tonight. So please give it your thought and give us your signature if you can. Oh, that is the last slide. That's the last slide. Thank you all for the patience that you have with it. There's...
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
This is the path. This line, I'm almost confused. Is it...
Why don't you come up here?
Water line. That's okay. You can hear me.
Okay.
The water line that's in Santa Maria, is it tapped into state water line, or is it tapped into the aquifer that delivers water to the mesa? Because I hear it's part state water, part aquifer, and I have never heard where this line is tapped into.
Bill probably can answer the question better than I.
The agreement with Santa Maria is that we will receive exactly the same water that they deliver to their residential customers. So think of it as a pipeline that's going out to their suburbs, and they just branch off and come up to us. So it's a combination of state water, aquifer, whatever.
That's not his question. His question is, where did the state water come from?
The
pipeline, what is it tied into?
It would be
tied into the aquifer, so it's pumped out?
No.
Or is it tied into an existing line
that
only supplies state water?
No. It's not supplying state water, and it's not supplying groundwater. It's bringing in the mixture that's ready for any resident in Santa Maria. So it's an above-ground connection to their normal water distribution system. And if I'm wrong there, Mike Lynn or somebody can correct me on that.
I just talked to someone at NCSD about this and got a really specific answer a few days ago. I had a long conversation with Mike LeBrun, and I asked him specifically this question. What I was told was that the pipeline would go under the Santa Maria River to a point near Blosser Road, about a mile or a mile and a half south of the river. And it would tie into an existing city water main He didn't know the exact size of that pipe, but he guessed it would be between 18 and 24 inches in diameter, so it's a pretty big pipe. He said at that point they have a high head pressure that allows them to let the water flow up to the mesa without a lot of pumping energy being exerted. And it's blended water that comes from the city facility on the south end of town near the airport, where they have the state pipeline comes in on a branch line, it taps off the main line, comes to a facility where they blend the water with aquifer water at that point on the south end of town, and it's piped to the north end of town. And the amount, the percentages of the blend vary from day to day, depending on what's on the blend.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'd just like to chime in on that just a little bit, because part of the question is about, when I first heard about it from NCSD, I'm not sure if it's Mike or not, but it's a blend of water that, it was going to be a blend of water that was state water, aquifer, pumped water, and petroleum water. And the problem with that, of course, is Twitchell also is a facility that recharges our aquifer. So if we did take water directly out of Twitchell, we'd be taking water away that recharges us from what recharges our aquifer. Secondly, the Santa Maria, by court stipulation, is supposed to use 10,000 acre feet of state water to blend with their city water, period. And the court stipulated that, I understand, to make sure the quality of the water was acceptable, because what they pump there is not as good as the water that we have here, for instance. The problem with that is that in the last 2 years, there's been 7,000, 8,000 acre feet of water delivered to Santa Maria. It doesn't even meet the minimum requirement the court said that they had to have for water there. They're playing a little bit of games with how they're going to blend this water in a drought situation. They won't get that much state water. So the state water in a drought situation goes, they get less and less and less, which means they have to pump more and more and more. And they're pumping out of our aquifer just upstream from us. That's our water that's going to be coming to us anyway. But what's happening is Santa Maria is going to pump it. They're going to put in a pipeline, charge us $1.725 million for the privilege of having the water come to us, and then charge us per acre foot for the water when it gets here. It's our water. That portion of it that is state water is questionable. It'll vary depending on how much state water they can actually get. Liam, what we'd like to do is make it more orderly. I think if people want to step over to the center aisle here, or Liam Scott and Mike, and then we can all be sure and hear the question when somebody wants to ask it.
The lawyer should just stay there. Dorothy.
Well, he'll get the mic too.
Okay. I've been here 40 years. How many people here remember the Salaron pipeline? Those 50-foot-long pipes zipping around that stretched all the way along the freeway.
Right behind the church here.
Yeah, that's the state water. It comes from way up north. We didn't get attached to it because we're a nobody here in the coast. Santa Maria attached to it. We didn't. Well, you voted it down. But now we're trying to buy the water so we could have.
What's your question?
Oh. Okay, but you want to know where the state water came from. It's kind of correct, aren't you? It's important.
I really don't even like. I think everybody can hear me on this one.
That's fine.
Not so much a question, but I live up at Cypress Ridge, so we already went through all the facts up there that there are four entities that are going to pay for this. Now, according to the NCSD, and I'm not an attorney by any stretch of the imagination, but they were talking about people that have wells, ConocoPhillips, being exempt from paying because there's some laws on the books somewhere along the way. What we need to do now in either San Luis County and they can start it there is they need to change the law, because we're going to end up somewhere down the road paying for something. And I don't mind paying for something down the road, but I don't want to be the only one paying for something down the road that's going to benefit everybody else. And I think everybody in this room probably agrees with that. But you know how it is with reversing laws and all that. It's not a 30-day gig. You're going to take years doing it. So I think the powers that be in government need to start turning the wheels toward that outcome. Because, like I said, I don't want to pay for my neighbor's water down the street because he's got a well.
My name is Bob Blair. I was on NCSD for 10 years and I was on the state association for 2 years. This is state law. Two states have certain laws that say if you live on a piece of property, you own the water under it. San Luis County is not going to change it. There was a big lawsuit a few years before the Napomo lawsuit called the Mojave lawsuit. That Mojave lawsuit went all the way to the state Supreme Court, I think even more. And it was ruled that if you own a piece of property, the water's underneath. You're not, San Luis County is not going to change that.
I'm not saying San Luis County is going to change, but we do have politicians that go up to state government. Talks are going up to state government and get stuff.
You're fucking farmers from the valley and a whole bunch of people with a lot more money than you've got. And I can guarantee you, you're just like a fly on the windshield of a Greyhound bus is not going
to show. So are you willing just to sit down and roll over?
No.
Or do you want to fight for it a little bit? Like I said, this would take years.
I certainly understand your point, though. And there's a fairness. There's just that sense
exactly.
of fairness about this. Why to me, think about it, those of us in rural water at Cypress Ridge have beautiful water right underneath us that we pump out of the ground and drink. And yet, we're being asked to participate in this as well.
With no pipeline connection?
No pipeline. There's a pipeline working within a mile and a half.
We have a question here from James from the audience.
I am already paying for something that's not useful. I need the sewer system. Why is it hooked into the water system? I don't have a sewer. But I pay for somebody else's sewer. I don't know where.
Now there was a question I didn't see coming. I wish I could answer that, but that's a little bit out of my
Larry, can I just comment on that? If we had a desal plant, the only people that would benefit from that would be the people that are connected to the desal plant. And if there is a water shortage, I'm betting we could get a lot of other people to contribute if they needed that water. So we might not be the only ones paying for it. And if we're on a regional basis, we would have multiple cities in the northern Cleveland area or considering building desal, sharing it with us so the cost would be lower. Overall.
Hi, I'm Roberta. I thought you said that when you were going to pass around the petition, it was to encourage the county supervisor to help us get some kind of a solution, not to necessarily oppose the whip. And I have to say, you did a very good job tonight, but I would love to have a meeting where the people from NCSD and you guys were in the same room, and you could talk back and forth to clarify. So I'm still not ready.
We would like that too. We're very much
like that.
No.
They're
in the audience. There are several members here in the audience, but I talked with Michael LeBrun. I talked with representatives from the board. They're, in fact, we had a meeting at one time arranged. And when their attorney wasn't able to be in the meeting, they decided to pull out. We want to put the cards on the table. We're not a law officer.
Ouch,
the mouth.
Everyone's got to stand up
and make it. Simple question. Why is NCSD
motivated to do this project. What do they gain out of this that they're selling this project? There must be some reason, because based on your presentation and the effort, it has no real value. So why are they, what are they going to get? Bigger salaries or what?
Pat, you
want to
give
it?
I'm going to read from a potential future production demand from the 2009 NMMA report to the court. The projected future demand for NCSD is an increase from 2,560 acre feet per year in 2009 into between 4,950 acre feet per year to 7,438 acre feet per year under different landing scenarios in 2030. So the only thing I can say is they expect a lot of modern development, and with Willow Grove going out and having all that vacant land on both sides of the road, you know, I mean, there's a lot of land out there for building. There are people in town who would really like to see Napomo become a city, and there's people with political ideas about that. So we don't have enough people yet. We don't have enough revenue yet to have a city, pay for the cost of a city. So that's the only answer I can suggest. Is that the cause? I don't know.
One at a time. When this is sent out to the water department, I walk my dog in my neighborhood every day, and I talk to people about this. 1%, maybe less, after that. They read about four pages from Philadelphia Water, and he puts in the back of the back sheet that if you want to protest this, you write this and you get it down to the water department. I'm telling you, 1% of the people read these things. They don't know what's going on. Everything else goes into your Adobe. If you walk the Adobe maze on the driveway a week after it's delivered, nobody reads that. People are, all these houses in foreclosure, and all these areas, all these rentals, these people don't care about these things. So we're probably talking 3% of the people get the correct information on these things. So there's some way that we can get this into the media, or I don't know what to do. The other thing is the state water. I believe there's a 4-inch bell, a hot tap right on the state water behind this church. That the state pays for water to test the water line from the phone. Has anybody ever wanted to try to see if they can get hooked up to this thing, or if there's any way to do that?
It's very complicated. The distribution of the state water and who owns it and the capacity of the line, and it is very complicated. But it's something I don't think that's been pursued with real intent. And you're right, there's a cap there. There's not a turnout. A lot of people think there's actually a turnout there, but there is that that's there. But, not really useful at this point in time.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Joslick, and I'm with San Elizabeth Booker Friar. I also live in Old Town, and I've been going to the NCSD meeting for about 3 years, and I've watched these projects come up, and there's not a lot of people at the meeting. The other thing is, as a group, Surf Rider has approached the board supervisors. We've spoken with several of them individually to ask them to tackle this as a regional issue, right? Because we understand that this is, water shortage is affecting all of the towns in our county. The other thing we're looking at, and we're really trying to push on this, is water recycling. Desalination is hugely costly, and it's very energy intensive, it's very expensive. Santa Barbara did this, their desal plant now sits idle. Cambria wants to do this, it's not going anywhere. Water recycling with a regional approach is where we'd like to see it go. Also, this the expansion of the sewage treatment plant in Napomo, how could this be part of the water solution? The question I do have for you is, if we vote no on this proposition, what happens next in the process? Are they going to move this forward without our consent? And then have you thought about hiring a hydrologist to help you with your case? And I would like to offer Surf Rider support to your Mesa Alliance today. We're very interested in getting involved in this. Thank you.
Thanks for the support. I'd like to get you involved with that.
Let me answer a couple of points that you made, very valid. We aren't suggesting that desal is the answer. What we're really pushing for here is to get more involvement from the community in terms of long, mid and long range plans for our water supply. Recycling is certainly one that, improved recycling is one that's on the table in a lot of areas, and is a nice addition to where we are now. And all we're saying is also look beyond that. At the long term, 30 years from now, you'll have recycling, you have water conservation, you have all these different ways of improving our water supply. So we're not saying just one method is it. But the big caveat here is that by spending $350 million now on this project that we see no benefit from, we'll just poison the well, so to speak, forever, because we won't have any more money to spend on good efforts. So let's get the county involved, come up with regional solutions, workshops, whatever it takes, and get everybody going in the right direction. And I'm glad we'll take your offer.
What happens if this is voted down? She has another part of her question.
Oh, okay. There's one of the things on the petition is to see if we can't get some lawyer of some stipulating party to petition the court to get rid of that clause in the agreement. And that's what we're kind of pushing on, hoping the board of supervisors to take over as part of this total solution. If that doesn't happen, NCSD has the option to try to fund this thing with just water rate increases. And then our numbers are totally too low because they'll have to take that whole bond cost and up it because it'll be more expensive. It won't be a construction bond anymore. It'll be a higher interest bond because now it would be guaranteed by the property. And like I said, there's foreclosure and everything else. I'm not sure a bond agency would even give us a bond for this project. But that's another interesting point that NCSC has never really come up with a bond yet. They just talk about it.
We just take a second. Paul Scherer is still sitting in the back of the room, so this is just a show of hands, just a straw vote. How many people in this room right now, if they had the WIP project in front of you on a ballot, how many people would go for it? Just raise your hand.
Yes or no?
If you would go for it, raise your hand. How many people would like us to take our petitions down to the Board of Supervisors and get them involved in a regional solution? Thank you.
Could you make it clear that the four-page blue flyer has nothing to do with the
enterprise? Right. Yeah.
Could you address
I'm not actually sure what it was. That's just a report on water quality and that's
yeah. No.
You're talking about the rate increase that they're
right.
putting through. Yes, they are totally separate. That's why in the chart that Pat put up, the different colors, the red color, that's the almost 10% a year for the next 5 years, and you have until October 12th to protest it. And just for all those that aren't aware of what it takes to protest an NCSD decision, let me explain that there's about 4,000 customers, and if you want to protest that rate increase of 10% a year for 5 years, you have to fill out a one page or a letter to the NCSD with your name, your ATM number, that you protested, sign it, and deliver it.
David.
So, and date it. So you need 2,100 of those letters to overturn that decision. That's never going to happen. The bank is stacked against us. So 50 or 100 of us will send in our letters, and they'll attach on the head and say, well, too bad, we're going ahead with it. So that's what's going to happen. You are going to pay that 50% increase in water over the next 5 years, and it has nothing to do with this well.
I just wanted to know, you guys are you just concerned citizens, or what is your background with all of this? I mean, you've done your homework well. Are you engineers, or?
Pat and Bill have been working on this matter, these issues, for actually for years. And Vince, I guess you have too. And the answer to your question is, we're just residents here.
Okay.
We're, in some cases, some pretty smart residents with a lot of numbers, their letters behind their name. Not in my case, but I'm an engineer, Bill's an engineer. Pat's was an administrative analyst and for 30 years. And
you should have tacked that on when you first started talking.
You know, I used to say that right at the beginning, but tonight I said I want to keep it short and everything, so I cut that off. The letter's been a resident here for 40 years, 45 years on the NCSB board for 10 years.
Vince is your upcoming advisory committee for representative for that moment. So he meets with people who advise for the supervisor monthly.
We don't have the funding, as I said, the NCSB does. But as I also said, we do have a tax.
Yeah,
we still spend a lot of time.
Hi folks, my name is Ray Wells. I've been on the Central Coast for 20 years. The property is here in the Pomona. I went to that meeting for the NCSD. There's something that I'd like to bring your attention to. There's actually more than one source for water in the Pomona. Everybody said, all there's only one source. But we're all forgetting the rain. We've got, how much rain did we get last year? There are a lot.
26 inches plus.
You know what they do down in the Virgin Islands? I've been down there. Everybody has a roof that collects rain. There I have a system. It is very simple. One very simple idea that we should all be collecting water off our roofs to use later and to put in settling pumps so we can get back down the river. Well, there are drawbacks, but if you put a little fish in there,
we can put a bass in there.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Mike Wynn.
We can go fast.
I'm meeting with Mike Wynn on Saturday. I've got some other great ideas, I think, for water, for getting water in the phone. Let's see, Alan, this thing. I saw a thing, a report on the Science Channel. Science Channel has covered this very elegant, simple idea to collect rainwater. To desalinate the ocean. They have these huge pipes that pump seawater up and then it sprays somehow and it comes back. Water condenses on these huge pipes and collects the bottom. That's looking worth looking into for desalinization. And I saw another report on Science Channel where the out in third world country or something didn't have any way of getting water. But they were right on the ocean. They had all these great thick bottles. They came up with this way of milking the fog for water. And it worked. And it's something to think about.
There are many ways to save water. You know, everybody that builds now has to put retention basins in. But we don't ever count how much water that puts in the aquifer. At Trilogy, where I live, there's retention basins all around the golf courses, and some of them are very deep. The driving range is very, very deep. When that fills with water, they pump it into other areas to let it soak into the aquifer. Now, we're managed by Waters Group, and Rob Miller is our manager for the Waters Group Water and Sewer System. And he told me that they estimate we save, on an average rain year, which is 14 inches, about 210 acre feet, which is a quarter of the water we use there. Plus, we recycle all the store water. I really don't think all of those water savings is counted anywhere when they consider where our water supply comes from, and a great deal of it does come from the rain. That's why our well levels, you know, last year, the spring water, I pulled the rain, the water level, groundwater readings off NCSD's website, okay? This goes back to 1975. Well, in 2010, the spring readings were 80,000 acre feet. In 2011, 87,000 acre feet. We're really running out of water, huh? Now, in 1976, we had 82,000 acre feet. Does something tell you we're doing better with water than we think? You know, and I think more retention basins is another answer. Black Lake, for example, owns a huge piece of land, and it could be bulldozed out, and a big piece of it is back behind the oaks, and used as a retention basin. There's places all over that could happen. And if we can document what we're doing to the courts, you know, they're fine with our saving water that way. And it's not going to cost $350 million.
I have a question that kind of through a few parts relating to the data from the Oceano well. Has NCSD specifically stated that seawater intrusion has occurred? Do you feel this is a clear mistake in fact? And is the Oceano data documented as a false positive for saltwater intrusion, or are you taking a word for that? And if so, you know, who are they? Are they a person in authority? Is there any chance of getting them to document the fact that that was a false positive?
Hang on a second. I'm looking for a question.
Is that
the
end of the question? Well, I have others, but I don't know. We'll give you one more.
Okay, in this fancy brochure with one of our residents somewhere on the front, it says, on the inside, Oceano, in August 2009, seawater intrusion was found a half mile inland. I'd say that's a pretty positive statement, and yeah, it never happened. So
is that because of the false positive reading in Oceano?
No, there was no false positive. It was just
a bad case.
Yeah, I think it was a maintenance issue.
So you feel that was an intentional misstatement to try to create a lot of fear in the community?
Intentional misstatement. I guess that's
intentional misstatement.
I'm not sure that I'd want to classify any statements made as out and out lies. But you have to draw your own conclusions at this point, I think. We look at these facts and we compare them with the statements that are made by others. We read the reports and look at what comes out of the reports, what the report says, and compare that with what we're being told the report says, and we often find that it's, at best, a misstatement.
Okay, so the last question I was told I kept on one. You presented from the Boyle report that the desal plant cost in the neighborhood of $100 million. And I was wondering if you've been able to reference any other studies or any other case studies on the coast or in California where desal plants have actually come out to that cost and have worked. Because I've heard of these other cases where desal plants have not worked or have gotten really tied up with environmental impact report costs and
It's a minefield to go through to get a project of that nature approved. The costs, I think, were quite as to do the best estimates could be made at the time for the environmental work that needed to be done on cluster construction costs. But that's all that is an estimate of what it would take.
There's a great deal of work being done in Monterey County, and I think they've already built a prototype desal plant, and I think they're very close to building the final, and they've gone through the permit process. It's almost all completed. And that would be a good place for a regional effort to start, just looking there, because they've been working on it for, 7 or 8 or 9 years now. And they're very close. So I talked to one of the CFC managers up there last year. I was up there at a wind that is being built near Moreno, where my daughter lives, and I had a long conversation with the man up there about it, who was working diligently on the project. So, and I've read in the papers up there, it's very close. It's very close to being ready to be in the motion.
I read an article, $300 million for 10,000 acres a year.
But that's producing a lot more water.
10,000 acres.
A lot more water. Yeah.
What and why Santa Barbara?
Well, Santa Barbara built a desal plant during the drought and never needed it. And I understand they sold all the components to the Japanese. Or maybe they upgraded it. I don't know.
They raised the dam at Kachuma or something like that. They have more storage.
They built state water.
They got state water.
State water and finishes, the pipeline finishes in Lake Kachuma. I drove by it today. It's tippy top full.
And so they decommissioned the plant.
So they built it and then took it apart.
To go back to the seawater intrusion though, Mr. Harrison made a very precise statement that he had a letter from an attorney from Oceano, and we have that letter has been requested due to Freedom of the Public Information Act, and it's not yet been received. It was requested, I think, the next day, but they have not found. And the response to that letter indicated that somebody misunderstood what Mr. Harrison said. So you can read those responses on nonewwoodtax.com. It's there.
I don't know who Mr. Harrison is.
Mr. Harrison is president of the MCSC board.
Oh, okay. So
and he made that statement at that meeting. That when we challenged the statement about seawater intrusion, he said he had a letter from an attorney in Oceano that we were not telling the truth.
At the last meeting, I heard them say that they've already paid $3 million to have the pipeline designed, and why would they be doing that if we haven't even approved it yet? Seems to be a waste of money that doesn't get approved.
They can do anything with the money they want to, I guess. It's, it's your money, but being a little flippant, I don't want to be disrespectful to them. I think that they thought they were doing the right thing. They got the project designed. The good news is those plans can go on the shelf, and they can be pulled out and implemented any time that they need to. They can be done pretty quickly. They don't have to be done now. So maybe it's an investment in kind of an emergency plan.
I'm Andrew Lopez from the Como High School, and through all this, I haven't heard how you could educate the students. Because right now, we're just thinking for our pockets and not the newer generations. But right here, I got $10 right here. Would you guys rather want to save this or to preserve this natural habitat for future generations to save, to cherish? I'm new to this. I'm trying to learn more. But from what I've heard, most of you are just thinking out of your pockets. And that's quite selfish. When we should be helping the newer generations just be able to learn from our mistakes, but not this mistake, which will cost us more and make them suffer more. And my question is, how can we educate our students to be more active and help us with these problems? That's my question.
It's a good question. I understand your comment about the money, but the reality is, if we burn money unnecessarily on things that don't count, then the things that do count won't get enough money. That's something we're experiencing in this country and around the world right now. So money isn't something we can just ignore, and I think we do have to take it into consideration. I'll leave it at that for right now. I'll tell you what, if the high school is really interested in having a speaker come and talk to them about this issue, I'm sure we can provide one. And if you have a dean or a teacher that would like to ask for something like that, we invite them to give us a call. And we're on the net. You can find us, the MCA, on the internet, and ask us to have a speaker come out, and we'll get one to you.
Could you tell us how often the NCSD meets and when?
Twice a month.
We meet the second and the fourth Wednesday of every month. We meet starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, very well.
The MCSD building is just up the street over here.
That's not interfering with working people.
Yeah.
I'm Kathy Beck, and I just had a thought that I'll put into a question. If we're going back to State Water and the Laval right here, is it possible for Santa Maria to put like a little substation and we can just take our allotment of water right here and then we're not getting rid of our aquifer?
No,
I understand that, but if we're going to get their water, that was feasible. I mean, that would solve all that,
You're trying to be real practical about it. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
And that's the thing I want to share is we are also, we also have a well, but we're also part of NCSD because of something that was done a few years ago. So even though we have our own well, we still have to pay for the home water that we really use. So there's another issue. We're involved in this when we don't really use their water.
I live in Texas Ridge, and I'm involved in it, and I don't use the water either. So there you go.
Hello. I'm Ken Shamardola, and I wanted to make a brief comment on the Santa Barbara diesel plant, because I was living there at the time. I was living in Santa Barbara at the time the diesel plant was initiated. It followed about 4 years of heavy drought. There was a lot of wringing of hands, gnashing of teeth, and finally the decision was made. And in early 1980s, the rains came, and it made the diesel plant unnecessary. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but it was just out of sequence, and the diesel water couldn't compete with the cheaper supplies. So it was dismantled. Part of it still exists, but most of it was sold to Israel, where they really need such plants. It was just bad timing.
Thank you.
So the lady that asked about the same water turning out down the street here, that is owned by, privately owned by several ranches around there. So it is a private operation. We cannot get into that right now. That down there you were talking about is privately owned.
I have a question concerning the size of the allotment that you talked about. Considering the developers, like the Woodlands, they have a number of lots there more than anywhere else. So they probably have more votes than anyone else. Is that the way it works? I don't know.
Now, NCSD as a whole will have more votes than anyone else. They have 4,100 customers, plus they're trying to expand this to undeveloped property. And I think the total benefit units were 8,000 or 9,000, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look again at the number. Wallingford did a study of each of the areas, Woodlands, NCSD, Rural, and Golden State, and came up with the total number of people that had residences getting water and what their property values were in terms of benefit units. And most of them were, if it was a third of an acre or less, it's one benefit unit. Condominiums and apartments were even less, 0.6 or something like that. And if you had half an acre or 0.6 of an acre or less, it was 1.7 units. And if you had 2 acres, if you had a whole acre or more, it was 2 benefit units. And that's how you would pay. You would pay, if you had an acre, you would pay double what a person with a third of an acre has. And that has to do with the cost of watering, landscaping, and using your property in ways to use water. So it's a complicated thing. Now, Woodlands will have 1,300 homes eventually. And the total benefit units there, as I recall, is 1,500 or 1,530, something like that. So it's not a big number.
8,000.
Yeah. Well, no, that 8,000, I think, is an NCSD. NCSD has 4,100 plus customers, plus there was all these other undeveloped properties that they were trying to bring into the assessment. And I have not seen a document. They were going to ask people to opt in or opt out. And if they did that, they were going to get reduced. Well, anyhow, the board voted to reduce the supplemental water capacity fees from over $13,000 down to $3,000.
Okay, my question really is...
So if you have undeveloped property, it might benefit you to opt in if you were going to develop that soon. But I don't know how they know...
My question is very simple. It's going to go with this 50 plus one vote.
Right.
What's the total population? Is it 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 in the whole pool of property and counting all these four water districts to get to 51% so that you defeat, how many do you need?
Okay, the total number is 10,225. And that includes all four water companies.
But you don't need 5,000. You need 50% plus one of the benefit units that are returned to say yes or no.
I understand.
Okay. And that's really, really different from the other kind of Prop 218, which you're in now if you want to protest the rates. There you have to have 50% one plus one of the total number affected.
Yeah.
So very different way. This is much easier to defeat, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, you mentioned back in cemetery for the first time tonight. To me, it seems very significant that the water in the aquifer flows from south to north. And I'm wondering how certain we are of this fact. Now, what's the proof?
How certain we are that the water flows from the aquifer from south to north.
If you look at if you want to see the actual detail, look at the NMA annual report. In fact, I think all the technical areas have contour maps that are based on well lines. The county takes hundreds of measurements throughout the county, both Santa Barbara County and Santa Luis County. And the hydrologists then evaluate this data and come up with what they call contour maps. So they draw lines of equal pressure all the way from the bottom of the South County all the way up to the Oceana. And so you can see the gradients across the county, and that tells you that's the direction of flow. That's in all the annual reports.
Okay.
One quick thing. There is a meeting next week. We announced it. Before anybody else leaves, you might
want
to mention the meeting
that you
have.
Yeah, thank you. The NMA technical group presents its annual report to the public once a year. And the report came out in June, and they scheduled the public meeting next September 15th at Nipomo High School at
7 o'clock or 6:30 or something.
There's
like
some
that.
Confusion about the time. Mike Wynn says 7, Eddie Eamy says it's 6:30.
Okay, so yeah, the words are like, get there early, be there at 6:30.
And where in the high school? Do they know what room?
But this is only, remember, this is the presentation of their technical panel report, and they will not discuss cost of WIP. They don't even discuss the WIP. You can ask questions, but it's not in their annual report. So it's probably, I attended the Santa Maria one. It's very dry, but if you're interested, it's very interesting.
I'm Daniel Gibbs. I've lived here 64 years in downtown Napomo. And I tell you, I've seen a lot of changes here. And earlier, this lady here was talking about the rainfall. We had a monster amount of rainfall this year. Where did it all go? Santa Maria, back in the aquifer, and back to the beginning. But, yes, that's the problem. Is we've had open pole still here that we've been asking this question. And the question would have been, we had, in 2003, we were proposed to have retention ponds in the pole. And I deal a lot with the creeks that are still built up, and our rivers are getting cleaned out almost every other year. So, okay, those retention ponds would cause the spill, cause the debris, held the water, sent it back into our aquifer, and we wouldn't be dealing with this issue at all. But they're not doing it. They spent $150,000 for the survey and then get it out of the book for it. So, Paul, where are you? That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Sure.
I understand there's still surveys going on. A friend of mine told me yesterday she got a phone call wanting to know what she thought about NCSD. Was it favorable, neutral, or unfavorable? And the second question was, do you believe it that there is a seawater intrusion? So, you're still paying for that survey.
I'll bring it over. My name is Don Frederick, and I'm the president of the Napomo Senior Center. And we have a lot of concerns. One is that the price is going to cost us homeowners to the point where a lot of the seniors are living on the edge. And you bring more money, more charges on their property tax or their water, they're going to lose their home. And you think you see foreclosures now, you ain't seen nothing yet. And where do they go from there? They go live with the kids. No kids, then they go to an independent living. Can't go there, it's $4,000 a month. I mean, we come to the point now, we all have heard of or know of seniors who can choose between a meal or their medication. Right? Now we've got three choices. They can have a meal, medication, or a drink of water. And I think a no vote is very good here.
I can understand her understanding of why this is too expensive. You look at this thing and it's down. But this year we had had it would have been $404 bi-monthly. That's a whole hundred of a lot of people. And you know, and this is a time when we're having a recession, people lose their jobs, money's tight, and these people come along with a project like this.
Great.
What makes these people, what are they thinking about? It really makes you wonder. So, I don't think anybody's going to be able to afford this, even if they do, so it doesn't really matter much at that point, because I think the only thing you can do is vote no, and that might save you a little bit of time. Thank you.
I'm in the Silver State Water Company area. I'm really down. And I answered this survey, and I was extremely upset about it because all the questions were funded, and it forced me in the end to say things I didn't agree with, just so that they didn't think I agreed with everything they were funding for. It was a very, very biased interview, and I felt a girl, which forced me.
no impact on that. But if they come out with figures that say lots of people agree with all of this, don't believe it. Because I started off down the road trying to be honest, and in the end I would say, no, what I'm telling you is that I'm buying this, and I'm not, you know. So it just don't take very well when it comes out. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. All I want to know is, do we have enough water for the expansion that we'll probably experience in the next at least 10 years?
Well, again, you're going to get opinions here, but
that's what I'm asking, and that's all I expect from you. But
based on that 35-year graph, it's showing. So far, we haven't reached the point that graph started tilting downwards.
But what that graph did show at the right side or the present period was that there was a larger gap between the rainfall and the use.
Those weren't normalized graphs, but yeah.
It showed that quite a bit over the last several years.
Yeah, it needs a little more analysis than just putting it out in that form, but that was taken out of the report, and that's all they wanted to show was a correlation. And so, yes, I think it could use a lot more study. But to answer your question, there is a point at which the growth will affect the water supply. In fact, I think the county has rules about new development has to show some way of getting water. So I don't think we're going to be in any trouble with new development if they follow the current plan.
So if that's the case, then there is a point where we have to do something.
Absolutely. And in fact, just to make sure that everybody here understands, there is a problem on Mesa. There's a thing called pumping depression over in the Cypress Ridge area, because NCSD, Woodlands, and Rural all pump in sort of the same local area. So all the water, the majority of the water that's going to everybody in Mesa is being pulled out of one particular area, and that causes what's called a pumping depression. And if that continues for very long, it could spread to the point where it would cause seawater intrusion possibility. So there might be plenty of water here on this end of the Mesa, and they're pumping too much on that end, and it causes a local problem. So we've got problems that need to be solved, but the Zoom doesn't solve that problem. And that's the only one that I know of that's documented as a problem.
Can we really clear about this? When this issue resolves itself, however it resolves it, my thinking is, my hope is that one of the next things that MCA will be doing with our petition to the county is getting the county involved in looking at the regional solution to what our water needs are going to be far into the future and developing other water sources, true supplemental sources. I think that's our next job. Right now, we're kind of focused on making sure that we don't get hamstrung by a big debt to a solution that doesn't do anything. If we can stop that, then we'll turn our attention to we've got time. And the health of our aquifer, by all the data that's presented, and we've got experts out there that are monitoring it all the time. We've got the court has continuing jurisdiction. If anything did go wrong, they'd step in and start taking steps. We've got time to do real supplemental water solutions that will help us out. And that will be our next project with the NCA, if anybody agrees with that.
Dorothy, I have one question. How many of you have ever heard of a governmental project that came in on budget?
Hoover Dam.
That was before my time, even. So let's say they did some cost worth of $50 million. By the time it's finished,
And it's going to cost us $900 a month. And I got that kind of money. And if it comes in double that, we'll get that. And the problem is, the Pomo is an unincorporated city. We don't have a whole lot of say-so on anything they do to us here. It was in the paper on the little article about how they finally put Templeton back together with the new boundary line. The Pomo is section 4, whatever they call it. We are 16.4 growth rate. San Francisco, who could say no? 2% growth rate. We have water now. At what point don't we have water? At what point do we reach the point of salt water and trees? How much can we keep on growing? I don't think we can continue on forever. I mean, we either got to stop growing or figure out how to get more water.
Stop
the growth. Yeah.
If you'd like to see a copy of the 12 groundwater ratings, you go on NCSD's website, and you have to look across the top to resources, and then reports by subject, and then screen down there until you see groundwater index level, and the current one, 2011. Reading through that is very interesting. I think it will reassure you that we're not going to run out of water very soon. We have years, especially if you look at where the rainfall. Then it has issues of rainfall, spring readings, number of wells, fall readings, number of wells, and the difference. Okay, so you can see how the levels change. And when it's hot, we use more water in the summer, so the fall readings are more. It's just interesting to look at. So it's only a 5-page report. One page has this brief index. And it's really interesting to see. I mean, you know, the years where there's a lot of rainfall, it takes a few years to observe and get all of that water. So you see these little gaps between the rainfall, and then when it's dry, it takes a couple years for the fossil to go down. So you just have to look at it. But we're not going to run out of water anytime soon.
Okay, we're kind of winding down here. You're probably tired of hearing us talk. But let's take two more questions and two or three.
Hi, I'm Ruth Bracken, and my husband and I moved here 42 years ago. When the entire mesa was dirt roads and wall-to-wall utilities, they're known for using a tremendous amount of water. And early on in the early 1970s, we got embroiled with the county overlanding throughout the county. And this issue of water was raised even back then, saying we didn't have enough water on the Pomo Mesa to maintain what the zoning was this 1-acre zoning, pretty much in all the rural lands in the county. And one of the reasons I think it's very smart to ask the board supervisors to get involved is the county has what's called resource management system, and they monitor all the communities. And there's three levels. They tell you when you're getting into trouble, when you start thinking about doing something, and if you don't have it going by the third level, it's a moratorium. So it would be wise to have the supervisors involved in this as a regional issue.
Anybody else?
Two questions left. This lady and this gentleman.
Yeah. Mine's not really a question. It's kind of a statement. It's we are Mesa, and it's Napomo, 93444. We're all in Napomo. And maybe downtown, I know of some people that took offense, you know, by just hearing Mesa, being from a creek, you know, up. So maybe just in publications or something, the fact that we can say all Napomo residents, you know, instead of just Mesa. Does that make sense?
That's a good point. The court divided us into the Mesa management area, the Northern Cities area, and the San Maria area. So we kind of picked up on that right from the beginning. That's a good point.
I live in Pomo for about 4 years, so I'm a really long time resident.
But I laughed when you guys voted down State Water. I'm not laughing anymore now that I'm looking at the But one question is the county board supervisors, and as Ms. Brack said, they actually did do something. Not, they declared something to do with the water, this area, as having a water problem. I don't remember the terminology they used, but it's a class, you know, one alert or something like that. So how does that pair with the staff that you have in terms of...
Well, you're talking about the county's resource management system that she mentioned. The county about 3-4 years ago declared this to be a level of severity 3, which says we're in trouble and we're overusing our water and something has to be done. And that was based on information that was presented probably by NCSD, and it was based on information that occurred back in probably 2003-2004 time frame. And the county doesn't actually do any real studies on this. They just look at available data and make a political decision. So since the technical groups have been in existence for 3 years now, three reports, none of those reports support that LOS 3 criteria. But now we're talking, I brought this up to the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I think the response generally is that the LOS 3 designation is a political designation, and you're talking about technical data, and well, shouldn't they be the same effectively as they are? So until the Board of Supervisors and the county decides they want to relook at this, we are in a LOS 3 designation severity level 3.
And one more observation, I guess, is the concept of the $100 million desal plant versus the $350 million that we're talking about. And I'm only start the slide for a minute, but it appears to be an apples and oranges analysis because the $350 million included the cost of the water and included some sewer and some other ancillary things that were there. Okay, but the $100 million didn't include the annual cost of operation.
The acre feet did. The cost per acre feet included 20 years
of maintenance.
Okay, including
the whole
thing.
But how about
the you're right in the sense that it doesn't, when you talk about $100 million, that's why I thought it was pretty careful to identify what did it include permits and construction.
Right.
And
but it was sitting next to the 350, and they actually aren't the same.
And I
think that was my observation. That was my question, actually. Are they the same?
Yeah, well, it's an astute observation, and the question is, the answer to your question is $100 million for construction and permitting that sort of stuff. That's your estimate.
Can we get it down to your slide?
However, I would like to mention what Pat just did. The estimate is also that on a per acre foot basis, it could be, water could be produced for 2,500 an acre foot, and over 6,000 acre foot, and that's a particular model.
And that was loaded cost input.
Pardon me?
That those costs equal, I mean, comparable costs then?
Yes. Yeah, you know, okay. That compared that 2,500 acre foot to 4,000, almost 5,000 acre foot.
Yeah, the data's a little old,
because
it's 2007. But to be honest with you, I went back to 2001, and I have a report from NCSD that analyzed many different options for water in 2001. And that report, if you calculate it out, they had per acre foot, the cost for 2,000 acre feet, even in 2001, came to $100 million. I mean, it wasn't like this was new information to NCSD. If they did the math, the report only took it so far, though, and it was a one-page report, and they, at that point, picked the waterline every time project. I do not know what the basis for that decision was, but they looked at a lot of different things. But this report is on NCSD's website. It's called Evaluation of Desalination as a Source of Supplemental Water. And the date on it is September 28, 2007. So if you look in their resources again, I think that's where I found it under the resources by budget.
Thank you.
I
say one thing real quick? Everybody owns property in Como. If everybody that owns property in Como could put in rainwater collection, rainwater system, retention basin, and I forget, but that's the idea, to try to collect water and try to put it back in the ground.
At Cypress Ridge, by the way, no water lease or property. At Cypress Ridge, no rainwater lease, no wastewater lease, no water lease to the property. It's all.
And if every homeowner took that responsibility and got, I'm going to do it. I got two places. I'm going to do it on both places.
Yeah, good.
Also, one more quick thing. If everybody's thought about a national water pipeline, we've got oil pipeline, gas pipeline, national highway system. Let's put it in the national water line.
If there's anybody here who didn't sign the petition who would like to on the way out, we'd be delighted to have another signature or two. Bob?
There's a really good opportunity here. Michael Phillips uses probably 15% of the water on the basin. They blow it out to the oceans for the outfall pipe. That 15% could be recycled, and they could be the heat source for a diesel plant.
Yeah.
Because there's also a 10-inch pipeline that goes from the water company, the oil company, to Las Vegas. It's not in use. Water could be brought back through that 10-inch pipeline right into the pond. I mean, I advocated this when I was on the board, and nobody ever went out and looked at it. We want to get in partnership with the oil companies because they got the money. They can finance this. This is the only requirement probably on the West Coast that uses real water. All the ones in Southern California use recycled water. There's no reason why this one out here can't. They just got away with it.